Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, about every 500 years, the church feels compelled to hold a giant rummage sale. We get rid of some old stuff and we try on some new stuff. Now, this image of a giant rummage sale, it's not my image. This comes from an influential religious writer, Phyllis Tickle, and there's a lot of her ideas in this sermon. So Phyllis Tickle points out that periodically, the structures of the institutionalized church of the time become intolerable to many people, and those people challenge the structures of the church and maybe even abandon those structures for something new. This is kind of similar to what happens when a crab grows. It leaves behind its old shell so that it may grow and have a new shell. So Phyllis Tickle claims that there are three things that happen when this rummage sale takes place. First of all, a new and more vital form of Christianity emerges. Second, the existing, the dominant form of Christianity is put back together, cleaned up, tidied up in a pure and more vital way. And third, the Christian faith spreads to new geographic places, to new demographic places. So the rummage sale brings a lot of energy and a lot of newness. So significant change in the way that we do church does seem to happen at roughly 500-year intervals. 500 years ago, that was the 1500s, that was Luther and the Protestant Reformation that we've been talking about for a few weeks. Now, 500 years before that, that's 1054, the Great Schism between the East and the Western branches of the church, which I mentioned briefly. Before that, in the 500s AD, there was also a big development. Monasticism emerged as a structure that preserved the church in the face of the decline of the Roman Empire and the Dark Ages. It was in the monastic, in the monasteries, that the scriptures were written over and over again and preserved. The monasteries provided stability during this tempestuous time. So that was in the 500s. 500 years before that, what happened? It was Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, and the beginnings of the church as Gentiles were brought in and the message of God's love was broadened for the whole world. I think there is something to this theory of regular change in the church. Here we are at the 500th anniversary of the start of the Reformation. What kind of a giant rummage sale is the church holding now? What are we getting rid of? What are the likely outcomes for us? I think our scripture passage this morning has something to offer in response to this question. After his resurrection, Jesus met his disciples in Galilee, and he spoke to them in words that we call the Great Commission. He sent them out to share the good news with people in every land, Jews and non-Jews alike. He sent them out. And we're told that all of the disciples believed, but some had their doubts. Maybe as they stood there with Jesus, maybe they were thinking, gosh, I can see what looks like Jesus standing in front of me, but what if this is just a dream? Or maybe Jesus says that we should go to all nations and convert people, but I don't think we're going to be able to do that. I can't imagine what the future is going to be like. What will our faith be like if we're not worshiping at the temple? I don't know that I trust in the future. We're being asked to do things that we've never done before. Some of the disciples certainly did have their doubts. Don't we have similar concerns and doubts? The church is faced with having to do things that we have never done before. particularly the mainline church in America and the established churches in the West, the giant rummage sale is selling off things that we thought we needed. This giant rummage sale all around us has actually been going on for a while. It didn't just happen today. And I would say that it's the result of some changes that have affected our society as a whole, but have been also particular to the church. And some of these changes have led to what we perceive as a breakdown in the health of the church. For many people, it feels like the institution of the church is too small. It fits us pretty tight. It doesn't work for us anymore. Well, I think one of the things that has led us to feel this way is some of the findings of science, theories of evolution, discoveries about the age of the earth. They've made us wonder, what about that creation in 7 days? How does that fit in? Or the journeys of the astronauts into space. Some people said they went up to space and they didn't find God there. All of these findings of science, they can't undermine scripture, they can't undermine God, but they do challenge the assumptions that many people have about scripture and God. So that's one change. Another one that has particularly affected the church was the rise of historical criticism in biblical studies. And this led people, as they were examining the original languages and examining the history where the biblical passages came from, it led to liberal questioning about whether Jesus actually said everything that was in red letters in the Bible. Some people even wondered, gosh, could a dead body actually be resurrected and raised from the dead? At the other hand, there were people, the rise of biblical fundamentalism, people asserting that the only way to read everything in the Bible is the very most literal way. So we've got a liberal response and a conservative response, but somehow between those two poles, biblical literacy has declined for all of us. And studies show that even among Christians, only a few can name all four of the Gospels that tell the story of Jesus' life. And just want to remind you that it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not making any assumptions here. There are some other things that have led to cracks in the institution of the church. Sexual predation by Roman Catholic priests and Protestant clergy. Abuse of children, women, and men as well. This has led to a decline in trust of clergy as authority figures. Another thing is mobility. We've got these wonderful, affordable cars. They can take us anywhere. They can take us away from the stable, multi-generational communities where we once went to church every Sunday. And most recently, there's affluence and materialism, and I think this has often replaced our need for God, replaced that need with a perceived need for things, a need for the newest update in technology. And we've now got the ability to buy all these things, or at least to imagine what life would be like if we could buy them. We may say we believe, but most of us still have our doubts. Does the church have a future when we don't have any idea of what it's going to look like in the future? We don't have any idea of what we're going to do next. We don't know how to attract younger people. We don't know how to share the good news of our story when people have all these competing commitments on Sunday morning. We don't know how to increase biblical literacy when society is increasingly secular. We are overwhelmed with questions. We've got this sense of inadequacy. And surely the disciples were overwhelmed as well. Jesus was giving them an enormous task. And yet, Jesus doesn't just stop there and give them that task, give them the Great Commission. Jesus goes on and he says, look, I am with you to the end of time. Jesus doesn't say, well, just go and I'll meet up with you eventually. No, he says, I am with you. I will stay with you wherever you go. Jesus shows us the face of a God who refuses to be far off. Jesus shows us God with us, Emmanuel. And Jesus invites the disciples into partnership. He invites the disciples to help him and tells them that now they're going to share in this job of making disciples. He had called them as disciples in Galilee, and now they're going to go into the world to call others, to call them into a life-giving relationship with Jesus. He calls them to still keep up with Jesus, as the Reverend Bob Wade preached last week. We know that God cares for us because God is giving us some really important work to do, work that is important for our sense of competence, our sense of belonging. My grandfather was a mechanic and he owned a garage. And when they got old enough, he took his boys out to the garage to teach them the tools of his trade. And my Uncle Bill was a natural. He really picked up on how to tinker with cars, how to do things around the house, how to fix anything. Eventually, he built his own house. He was so good. But my dad did not pick this up quite as quickly. He was kind of clumsy with his hands and couldn't quite figure out what all those tools were for. And unfortunately, my grandfather gave up on my father and sent him back to his mother and said, perhaps as a result of that, my father never really developed any mechanical ability. But he did learn the tools of the trade from his mother. He learned how to clean house. He learned how to play the piano well. He learned from one parent and not from the other. But Jesus does not give up on us. Jesus promises to go with us, to teach us the tools of the trade as we go along. And Christ is with the church here and now. Christ will continue to be with us wherever we go, every day, until the end of time. Not just the end of this particular era, the end of this particular rummage sale, but the end of time, whatever God has that planned out to look like. For the past 100 years or so, new possibilities and new ways of being church have been emerging. In 1906, the Pentecostal movement started on Azusa Street. And now, after having been shown the importance of the spiritual experience, enthusiasm in worship, now there are more than 500 million Pentecostal Christians, second only in number to Roman Catholics. Pentecostalism is the most prominent form of the church that's growing in the developing world today, in Africa, in South America. There are other movements that have already started influencing the shape of the church to come. 12-step movements. Some of you may be familiar with the 12 steps, which make a point that we cannot manufacture our own salvation, but that God alone can help us and can change our lives. And there are a lot of non-believers who found sobriety, who found meaning in life through their willingness to accept a higher power, God as we understand him. Over the past century, we've seen the rise of house churches, small informal gatherings that foster Bible study, that foster committed discipleship for mission. And at the other end of the spectrum, we've also seen the rise of mega churches, that superstore of churches that offer a wide variety of resources and options all in one place. So if the pattern holds, this is all part of our giant rummage sale. And these and other new and vital forms of church, they will provide renewal for all of us. the older institutionalized forms of church should receive some new energy as a result of responding to these new forms of church. And maybe best of all, the gospel is likely to spread to new people. Recently, I spoke with a man who had not ever been religious or part of a church for that matter, but he suffered an emotional crisis and he had been suicidal. And in response to that, he was directed to go to a support group, which turned out to be part of a large church. And there at that support group, he started to feel loved and started to experience a sense of purpose. He told me, "I can't tell you what it's like to have freedom from anxiety, freedom from self-doubt. Somebody loves me. I know that now. God loves me." People who are unchurched, in the depths of despair, are among those who need to hear the gospel now. And maybe that's part of our great commission today, to go with Jesus to tell them that they are loved. Of course, the church is flawed. The church is always in need of reform and renewal. But nevertheless, the church is a sign of God's kingdom. The church is what we call a provisional understanding of God's kingdom. It's kind of temporary. It's here and now we try to show God's kingdom to the world. We try to show the world what God intends for everyone. Because Jesus Christ is with the church here and now. And he is going along with us every day, even to the end of the age. By his grace, we are saved through faith. And faith always has that element of risk. Being the church has an element of risk because it's daunting that Jesus is going to be where he promises to be. It's daunting to believe that the future belongs to God and that God is trustworthy. But Jesus is our primary resource. We don't have to do everything all by ourselves. We just go with him in this great commission, and we live into his great promise. If Jesus is with us until the end of time, if Jesus is with us, that means everything is all right. This rummage sale will sell off the things that we don't really need and will make us leaner and more fit for the future. Church, we will make it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.